I want to begin my remarks by acknowledging the challenging conversations and reflections that many of you have had over the past couple of weeks about my past, about the process that led to my selection as your president. Although it is not the intended topic of our meeting today, we have a wonderful, wonderful agenda set up for you. Please know that I'm committed to honest, respectful dialogue around this specific topic. And I welcome opportunities to engage with you during my office hours, lunches, I've already had a couple of those, cafecito hours, coffee hours, and certainly to any unstructured interactions that we might have during the course of a day on our campus. I've been deeply moved by the expressions of support that so many members of our campus community have offered publicly and privately to me. Thank you. I'm also tremendously grateful for the continuing support of the Ithaca College Board of Trustees, and I'm so pleased that our board chairman, Tom Grape, has joined us for our gathering today. Welcome, Tom, and thank you for being here. I know that some of you are also struggling with this news, questioning the past actions and the character of the person this institution has selected as your president. You may be questioning my commitment to supporting and respecting individuals with mental illnesses or survivors of abuse. You may be questioning my ability to empathize with those in crisis. I'd like to reiterate today my complete commitment to ensuring the respect and understanding for all individuals, without reducing them to their most visible labels, diagnoses, or social markers. And I hope that you will see the work that I have done always, and the work that I'm doing right here with you at IC in the last 7 months, as being fully grounded in that very commitment. I know that public discourse does not easily lend itself to nuance. And I understand that some people may think that a person with a complicated history does not deserve a leadership role, that they should be excluded from a seat at the table. I've been thinking about this, believe me, long and hard, about what it means to be resilient and strong, and the risk that I'm taking as I aim to be a leader who is a full and whole person in a job like this that is incredibly public. So now we find ourselves here together, a community of faculty, students, and staff working through a difficult moment. I stand here with you, continuing to have the courage to share with you who I am as a person, and certainly as your leader. I'm asking all of you to be courageous with me, to understand and embrace not only my complexities, but those of our colleagues, those of our students, those of our community members. This is part of our shared work as we open the next chapter for Ithaca College. Excuse me. Today during our gathering, I'd like to offer you some of my thoughts about my first semester at IC and celebrate some of the changes and achievements that have taken place already on our campus during my first semester as president. The second part of my remarks will be centered around what I've learned from all of you, actually, as I share some themes that I've seen emerge in our conversations and our collaborative work. This academic year, we've had the opportunity to bring new talent to our campus. And if you haven't had the chance yet to meet her, I'd like to introduce Dr. Rosana Ferro, our new Vice President for Student Affairs and Campus Life. Rosana, sorry, I'm gonna do this. We also welcomed Melissa Daly to Ithaca College in November, who joined my office as my new chief of staff. Melissa's right here. And most recently, Paula Younger has joined us in her role as Executive Director of Government and Community Relations. And I'd like to point out the critical importance of Paula's role, particularly as we are spending so much time thinking about the future of the college and the value of strong strategic partnerships. Paula's role will be to continue and develop the college's relationships with our community partners, and also provide resource and guidance as our institution navigates the important dynamics of our local, state, and federal environments. Please give Paula a very warm welcome. I know you've heard about this, but I am very excited about our senior leadership team searches. Most importantly, a couple that we kicked off this semester and one that's well underway. Our provost committee, led by faculty members Jean Hardwick and Jack Powers, is currently working with Wick Kiefer, and they are working with a talented and competitive pool of applicants. The search, and that's going incredibly well, and we're super excited about that. The search, as you probably read, for our new vice president for academic for finance and administration is in its beginning stages, and the members of that search committee have been selected, are actively engaged under the strong leadership of our dean in the School of Business, Sean Reed. Thank you, Sean, Jack, and Jean, for your service, and thank you to all the members of those search committees for these transformative positions and processes that you're undergoing and leading. I'd also like to take this opportunity, and I'll thank them again over and over again, for the wonderful leadership of our provost and our vice president for finance, our interim vice president for finance and administration, Linda and Janet, Linda Petrosino and Janet Williams, who are here and have been such incredible partners with me early on in my tenure here. At our first all-college gathering in August, I spoke about the importance of creating a collaborative environment that engages faculty, staff, and students in ways that build our excitement and investment in Ithaca College. Key to this work is open and honest communication. Throughout this academic year, I've committed to creating regular opportunities to meet with students, faculty, and staff. This level of engagement is something that I will extend throughout my presidency. And I've asked the members of my senior leadership team to do the same. I hope that you're seeing a collective visibility and availability as leaders in this community. And Chris did mention that we're about to start a roadshow for the 125th. So I'll be off campus just a little more than I was first semester, but I will absolutely be active and present every day that I'm here, and I know that you're in good hands with the rest of my team on the days that I am here and the days that I'm not. During the lunches and that my office holds with faculty and staff in particular, I always have asked this last semester, as many of you know, two questions. What's an aspiration that you have for IC, and what's something that you think is important for me to know? I've been listening very carefully as people describe their vision of the college's future, and the breadth of responses to this question, to the second question, has also told me so much about the strong values of our community. These opportunities for me to fully understand this community is particularly critical in this moment as we approach our strategic planning process. Last semester, I unveiled another way in which we can come together and think about IC's future. The establishment of the President's Seed Grants. I'm not going to spoil anything and tell you what's going on there, because Melissa Daly and Jason Freitag are coming up in a little bit to tell you about the inspiring and creative ideas that we saw unearthed as the Seed Grants proposals came in. My deepest thanks to all the faculty members, staff members, and students who actively participated, and my warm congratulations to those of you who were funded through the seed grants in this inaugural cohort. I intend to launch, as you know, our institution's formal strategic planning process in August. And this semester, we will offer, so stay tuned, a couple of signature opportunities for you to give us feedback and come together to build the scaffolding that will support ultimately the formal strategic plan process, ensuring a collaborative, democratic, and empowering strategic planning process. That is my wish, is critical for the success of this institution, and I wanted to affirm our commitment to full participation among members of this community at IC. But I also mean something very specific when I say community. This strategic planning process will be ambitious and will also include members of our local community. We are Ithaca's college and part of the fabric of this area. I'm excited to invite our local community to parts of the strategic planning process to really strengthen those connections in our work with our neighboring institutions as well. And I welcome ideas about how we can include all of those players as well as organizations and businesses in the area as we think about that integration, that strength, that partnership in the future of the college. The long-range goal is to have a 5-year strategic plan in place by 2019-2020 academic year. And so I see this semester really, and in working with the Board of Trustees, this semester is really about setting up the right tone and processes in ways that you really want to see realized when we formally kick off the process. This also means that I want you to have a sense of ownership of this, and that's really important. As I mentioned earlier, I want to share with you some of the major strategic themes that have emerged through my conversations with members of our campus community. I want to emphasize that these themes represent the ideas and thoughts that I've been reflecting on as a result of my interactions with all of you. This is certainly not an exhaustive list, but it is by far some of the most salient themes. It's not my intention, I think many of you have heard me say this, to develop a plan just on my own, by myself, based solely on those reflections. For us to move forward in a productive and positive way, we must all own this plan. We must acknowledge our collective accountability for its creation and certainly for its implementation. This also means that we will have a shared sense of ownership and pride as we build the future of the college together. The first theme I'd like to share is around our institution's financial stability. As we enter in our strategic visioning process, we must ask ourselves, what does it mean to align our financial plan with our priorities and our dreams? How can we build dreams in an environment where we are a lean organization that is heavily dependent on enrollment? What would it look like for this institution to have financial sustainability as well as the capacity to meet the financial need of every student? This folds in with our perceptions and expectations around our class size and enrollment. We want to be an institution that, and this is again coming from you and also part of my vision, is really building something that's simultaneously financially sustainable and at its core, deeply student-centered. In exploring the ways in which we can do what we must, what we must do is really create a space for creative ideas and really identifying new revenue streams for the college that will allow us to be accessible and affordable. And you know that this has been a very deep commitment for this institution for some time. And I was very attracted to IC because of its deep commitment to accessibility and affordability. We must get to the point where we're the right size with the right number of students living on campus who can be fully supported by a robust residential program. This will allow us to facilitate a greater sense of student success, not only in terms of GPA and graduation rates, but in terms of people who leave this institution feeling a deep sense of transformation. As all of you know, and I've said during my inaugural address, one of my major passions about Ithaca College is that we're an institution with a strong liberal arts core that doesn't shy away from the power of professional education. I believe that our future depends on that strength, and our liberal arts, sciences, and professional programs are equally important. I found this approach reflected during my discussions with faculty and staff, many of whom cherish the idea that IC is one college and built on the strength of our five schools. But one of the challenges I heard is that we often struggle to find nimble and innovative ways to really work together and build innovation and collaborative work in real time. A question we may ask ourselves in the strategic planning process is, how can we reduce the barriers, whether perceived or real, that stifle innovation and collaboration across the college? Is it simply a matter of feeling comfortable and encouraged to operate across boundaries? Or should we identify and address the barriers that prevent us from doing so? I find this to be an interesting dilemma that affords possibilities to think outside of our accepted structures, to not only find the answers to these questions, but expand our scope to think beyond our five schools. How can we become a place where these boundaries preventing collaboration and innovation are transformed not only on our campus, but between our campus and our centers in London, in New York City, and Los Angeles? How can we leverage the capacity of our work as one institution as we engage with our local, state, and national communities? Linked to our perception of our identity as one college is the ability of our faculty to easily and creatively traverse the boundaries between their respective schools and departments. One of the themes that emerged in my discussions with faculty in particular is around the limitations to collaborate that faculty experience, which at a school this size, and I'm saying this with a lot of respect as a new person here, really should not be an obstacle. For example, some faculty told me that they had difficulty team teaching or creating a course here on campus or collaborating on research. Part of our work in the upcoming year should encompass our ability to better facilitate these conversations and collaborations. Faculty also expressed to me the necessity of having the right support in place to excel, not only as teachers, but also as researchers. How can we structure our work to encourage intellectual inquiry while simultaneously upholding our commitment to being a teaching college? Teaching and research need not be a dichotomy. Connected to the ability to collaborate is the lack of physical space for faculty from all of our departments to come together and make the chance connections that inspire great ideas. Wade Pickren, the director of the Center for Faculty Excellence, as many of you know, has been doing an amazing job doing work and programming workshops and opportunities with his team for our faculty to advance their knowledge and pedagogical skills. Wade has also led efforts for faculty and staff to really come together and cross those boundaries. How can we build on this resource and create not only intellectual spaces, but physical ones, spaces that deliver our faculty members an ease of interaction that has a very real impact on the academic success of our students? This encompassed a prominent theme that emerged from my meetings with staff. How can we provide spaces and opportunities for staff to connect with one another and with faculty, to build relationships within and outside their usual work environments, to find mentors and build on their creative ideas? The ability and encouragement to develop professionally was also a theme that emerged, as it did with our recent campus climate survey. These issues around collaboration and professional advancement exemplify the spirit and the intention behind our SEED grants and the President's Fellows Program, stay tuned, which we plan to kick off this fall, the Fellows. The SEED grants are out, and you'll hear about those. It is critical that we create a student-centered campus that encourages both staff and faculty to thrive. Students, I hope you've been hearing me say students a lot because I'm about to talk about you. Creating and maintaining a robust residential student experience has long been a priority of this great institution. And it is clear that our campus community is really committed to continuing that tradition. But what does that new tradition need to look like? We've done major work around the creation and strengthening of a first-year experience. And my discussions with students, faculty, and staff tell me that we have more work to do. Beyond that, members of our campus community are especially interested in the need to develop a similarly rigorous sophomore year experience, one that will allow and continue to support students in their second year of college, a year that's critical and often forgotten in a lot of ways. One that will continue to really support students from all walks of life. It's also critically important that we continue to really do intentional work with our first-generation college students and our transfer students who are joining the IC community for the first time. Regardless of where our students are in their IC experience, one of the great strengths of our living and learning environment will need to include increasing the capacity of our students to participate in difficult conversations, in dialogues that are sustained, and really expand their understanding of what it means to be civically engaged in a just society. This complements the strong work that Dr. Farrell has been doing with her team in student affairs and campus life since she arrived in the middle of this fall. She's in the beginning stages of really thinking through with her team and reorganizing the division, deeply informed by a student-centered approach. And our institution in this process, as many of you know, is in the process of hiring two new counselors in CAPS, in addition to filling two positions that were vacant for some time. We also just added a new case manager that will start on March 5th, and we could not be more excited about that addition to the team. The themes that I've just shared with you are by far not an exhaustive list, but they represent some of the most salient things that I've heard from you and that I think about quite a bit. I continue to appreciate the candor, creativity, and hope for the future that so many of you have expressed to me in wonderful discussions, brave conversations that really have left me so excited about leading this college. Before I close my remarks, I did want to share with you briefly information about the upcoming Board of Trustee meetings that are taking place on campus, February 14th and 15th. An intentional practice that the board has taken up, which I love and was happy to join, is to carve out time for deep dive conversations, plenary sessions that trustees can take on around real important topics, not only at Ithaca College, but across the academy and higher ed. These sessions exist in addition to regular business that the board takes up during their meetings. And the sessions planned for next month, just so that you know, we're focusing on some themes that are very salient to what I've just said, will also include an update on our Middle States accreditation process, which is coming up, and you've been hearing about it, and we absolutely are depending on you and making sure that we have an amazing visit with the team. And a rich conversation around how the college continues to invest in being attainable and affordable while exploring who we are and how we tell our story. I'm also excited to share with you that members of our faculty, staff, and student governance councils, led by Professor Tom Swenson, staff member Candy Ross, and junior Carly McKenzie, have been invited to a working lunch during the board's meeting on our campus, where we will reflect on the ways that they've demonstrated shared governance, really come together and collaborated, and for them to describe their common vision and major initiatives. They'll be doing that with members of their executive boards and committees, but really giving an opportunity for this conversation to happen closely, openly, richly, and directly with our Board of Trustees. This type of working lunch between trustees and our governance council leadership really inspires in me the potential for candid conversations, for advancing shared governance at the college, and strengthening the connections between members of the board and the campus community. And so related to that, I want to invite you, and stay tuned in listening to this. It is on Valentine's Day for those of you who celebrate February 14th, which is our first day of a board meeting. We'd like you to save the date, February 14th, for a really interesting panel discussion. I'm biased here. It's a program that my office and the Board of Trustees is putting on. and it includes myself, Trustee Jeff Salingo, class of 1995, and also the former editor of the Chronicle of Higher Education, and actually the former editor-in-chief of the Ithacan, TC3 President Arinthia Montague, and Dana Professor Luke Keller. And we are going to be happily talking about really hard topics focusing on higher ed trends and critical issues in the academy. This will be kind of a fishbowl style conversation in which the community can take part in the discussion, hear what we have to say about topics that are really important to us. And having Arinthia there is really exciting because she has a very rich perspective as the president of a community college in this region that's doing great work. And of course, one of our very own faculty members who co-chaired our middle, is currently still co-chairing our Middle States review process. And I could not be happier that Grace Elliston, class of 2019, political science, politics major, and a bold scholar, will be facilitating the conversation. This will be an exciting opportunity for all of us in this community, Board of Trustees, and our faculty, staff, and students, and community members who'd like to come, to really talk about issues that affect not only our college, but higher ed in general. Thank you so much for listening to me. I know it's been a little bit. For your attention and your interest. And I want you to know how excited I am to work with all of you as we realize our vision for this incredible institution that I've fallen in love with. With that, I'd like to turn the podium over to Melissa Daly and Jason Freitag, who will be telling us some really good news about money that's being given away. Thanks, everyone.